this morning. But it is heavy rain outside, so you don't want to go out in that, so you might as well stay and listen to the Word of God. If you want to pray for us, pray that we get a summer this year. Because it's not been very good so far, these last sort of 5 months. Anyway, let's go to the scripture, shall we? To 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I just want to read one verse, and it's a very short verse, actually. Actually, no, let me back to verse 12, actually. Verse 12 says, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some say among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. And we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." You know, Paul is addressing something that was being taught in the church, like previously, when just before we took the Lord's table, we were looking at that false teaching which said you had to be circumcised or circumcision so that you can be saved. There was another teaching that was going around the church in these days that Paul was writing. And it was that people were saying that the resurrection was past and over and it didn't happen. And so Paul's saying, hey, look, he says, well, if there's no resurrection then Christ hasn't been raised. And if Christ hasn't been raised, then our faith and our belief and everything that we put our hope and trust in is empty and futile and nothing. And what he's saying there, so it's if there's no resurrection, he's saying, then we have no hope. And that's what he was addressing in this chapter. And he also mentioned this in his letter to Timothy. If you remember, Timothy was a young man that he was raising up and training as a minister and a preacher. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he tells him, he says to shun, this is verse 16, 2 Timothy 2 verse 16. He says, shun profane and idle babblings. He says, for they will increase to more ungodliness. You know, don't get involved with all these profane and idle talk and discussions about things which aren't of any profit. He says, because they're going to increase to more ungodliness. He says, their message, verse 17, will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, and he identifies two men in the church, or two men that were perhaps well known in the group. He says, these two, he says, they strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past. He says, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. What these two were doing, they were teaching and they were going around a little bit like the others that came teaching that circumcision was necessary as part of salvation. They were saying that the resurrection was over and past. And this was causing problems with the young believers and the believers in general. And he says, this is a foundational truth and it still stands that the resurrection is true. And what I want to look at this morning is, very briefly, that the resurrection is the guarantee of our hope. Because if Christ is not raised, then we have no hope. But if Christ is raised from the dead, if our faith is in someone who is living, as we've been declaring and singing this morning, because he lives, you know, we have hope for the future, that then the resurrection is the guarantee of that hope. Now, in the scriptures, I want to, this is really the main scripture we're going to look at this morning here, in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, we're going to read from verse 13. And again, Paul's writing here, he picks up on this thought. He says, "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." There's resurrection. You who were dead, he has made alive. That's resurrection. That's coming to life again. He says, he has made a life together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Then look at verse 15. It says, and having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, that was where he paid the price for our sin. With his resurrection, we have new life. You know, he's made us alive together with him. Now, he's talking there, if you go back, we didn't read the verses, but if you go back to verse 11, he goes through and talks about going through the ordinance of baptism. He says, in baptism, we are buried with him, and we are raised to newness of life. And on the cross where Jesus died for us, and when he rose again from the grave, he made us alive together with him. But look what it says here, verse 4, it says, he's wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. This was the long list of sins that were going to take us to hell. They've been wiped out. All of the, everything that we'd ever did was wiped out. There was a story of I can't remember the preacher's name, but a very famous preacher. And he went to bed one evening and he dreamed a dream. And in this dream, he dreamt that the devil came to him and began to tell him everything that he'd done wrong, every sin that he committed. And this, in the dream, this seemed to trouble the preacher. And then when he got up in the morning, he was pondering this dream, and he said, oh, he says, I better make sure. So he was thinking about this, and the devil came to him again and began to remind him of all the things he'd done wrong, and he said, oh, I'm going to better write all these down. And he wrote down every sin that he'd ever committed, and he wrote it down on a piece of paper. And then he got to the end of this very long list of things. And he said to the devil, he says, is there any others? Is there anything that we've missed? And the devil, well, there's this one. And he said, oh, better add it to the list. So he added it. And then when he finally finished, the devil said, no, that's it. There's no more. There's nothing else that you've done. Everything has been recorded. The preacher got a red pen and he put a line through it. He says, it's been cancelled by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Just to remind us that every requirement that was against us has been dealt with. It's been taken away. Everything that was contrary to us, Jesus took it to the cross. He bore it in his body. He's taken it out of the way, Paul writes here, having nailed it to the cross. And then Jesus did something really spectacular here. Verse 15 says that he disarmed the principalities and the powers. What that means here is he rendered every device, every weapon that the enemy can use as useless. You know what happens when you disarm someone, you take their weapon away or you render them ineffective. And that's what Jesus did at the cross. Every weapon that the enemy would use. Now he's the accuser of the brethren. Revelation tells us that. You know, he comes with his accusations. He comes with his temptations. He comes with every scheme that he knows in order to get us down, to defeat us, to cause us to sin and fall. But in Christ Jesus, we have the victory.
Amen.
He's been rendered ineffective. He was disarmed. And it actually goes on, it says, and he made a public spectacle of them, of every principality and power. And Jesus triumphed over them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The resurrection will endorse that victory. You know, the victory was won at the cross. When Jesus died, he won the victory. But when God raised him to life again, God really just put that seal of approval on that victory. He rubber stamped it. You know, this is a military term, what we're talking about here, in what Paul's writing in Colossians. You know, these terms are all used to describe the military. And he's saying here that Jesus, when he died, he completely subdued the enemy. He completely overcame the enemy. And he won the victory. And he's given that victory to you and me this morning. You know, death is the last enemy. Death is the last enemy. They say no one can defeat death. But the resurrection defeated death. No, we don't die anymore. Now, we might go the way of the grave. I'm not saying that we're not going to go into the grave. Or we're not going to be released from this body. Because we will be. Unless Jesus comes again and raptures us first. But we're all going to go that way. But there is no second death for the believer. There was a man, he's now with the Lord. I think I've told you this story before. My father used to work for him many years ago. If you read a lot of Christian material, you may have heard of this man, a great preacher, great writer. Author of this series that a lot of people still use today as their daily reading notes, The Every Day with Jesus. He's Selwyn Hughes. My dad used to work for him many years ago. And in one of his Bible reading notes, he wrote this once, and I wrote the quotation down because I really impressed me. He says here, the cross was the victory won, and the resurrection the victory endorsed. The cross was the victory won, and the resurrection the victory endorsed. This word endorsed means to approve. When you get a passport, and you have a passport, and you go not so much through the Schengen area that we have here, because they just wave you through. But when you go to a place that's outside of the EU and you go into the airport, you go to the customs desk, they will get a stamp and they will stamp and endorse your passport, give you approval to enter the country. And then you need it when you leave. They endorse it again to say that you're now leaving the country and you're going on to another one. So when you go through those border controls, your passport is endorsed. You get approval to travel. You have the permit to travel. And the resurrection is your approval of the victory. It's your permit for the victory that was won at the cross. You know, it's the guarantee of our hope, the resurrection. You know, every word of Scripture, you know this, because this is what the Scripture teaches us. And it's a foundational doctrine that every word of Scripture is true. It's backed up by God. You know, heaven itself backs up the Word of God. How do we know that? How do we know that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, it's easy to say, because the Word of the Bible says so. But if if you had no other, if you didn't know what the scripture says, but you had the resurrection, that is your guarantee. That's how you know Jesus is the Son, because Jesus was raised from the grave. How do we know he gives us eternal life? Because of the resurrection. Because Jesus came out of the grave, we have newness of life. How do we know he's preparing us a place in heaven? Because he said that if he goes, he's going to come and get us, and we're going to be resurrected to that place. We call it the rapture. Now, whether we're dead or alive, as Pastor always says, we're going to be raptured. Whether we come out of the grave or whether we are still alive at the coming of the Lord Jesus, the Bible tells us in the Thessalonians that those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with those from the grave to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. And then it says, and thus we shall ever be with the Lord. Amen. So the resurrection attests every claim, every promise that Jesus ever made. If you can find a promise in the Word of God, you know the resurrection of Jesus guarantees that for you. Because Jesus came out of the grave, we have hope and the guarantee. Now, I've touched on the guarantee previously. A guarantee is something that is your permit to get something replaced. If you bought an appliance, a kitchen appliance, or you bought a new car or something like that, it comes with a guarantee or a warranty. And that means that if it goes wrong within a specific time period, you have the right as the purchaser to get that replaced or repaired. And normally, it depends on the terms of the guarantee, but normally it comes without charge. And the guarantee of the resurrection is that when you have a promise in the scripture and you're maybe struggling over it and you think, well, maybe, is that what God really meant? Just go to the resurrection. You know, did Jesus rise from the grave? Yes, he did. That's your guarantee this morning, that God will do what he says he will do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Okay, I don't think I gave you this one, Chica. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it says this. It says, and God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. You know, God raised up the Lord Jesus, and he will raise us up by his power, by that same power. And then in the second book of Corinthians chapter 13, we have this scripture. It says, though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. This is verse 4, sorry. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Now, what is it about the power of God? This is resurrection power. You know, the power of the resurrection at work in us. Our guarantee. We shall live with him by that same power. Yes, he was crucified in weakness, but he lives by the power of God. He was raised to life the third day. We are weak in him, but we shall live by that same power. That resurrection power that's at work in us. I said a guarantee is your passport really to get something replaced or something repaired or something renewed if it goes wrong. Well, if you're in Christ Jesus this morning, and now let me not say if, because that always tends to cause some doubt. Let's use it as in the sense of since you are in Christ Jesus. Since you're in Christ Jesus this morning, you already have an abundant, overflowing life. Now, you might not feel it, you may not necessarily experience it, and you may think, well, it's not like that at all, but that's what the resurrection gives you this morning. An abundant, overflowing life. Since you're in Christ Jesus this morning, We've remembered you already have forgiveness of sins. You don't need to go out of this place thinking, well, I've not been forgiven, No, you have forgiven. Why? Because of the resurrection. Because Jesus came out of the grave. Since you're in Christ Jesus this morning, the Bible tells us that you're already healed of every sickness and every disease. Why? Because of the resurrection. Because Jesus died and rose again. If you're in Christ Jesus this morning, you're prospered and blessed beyond measure. Now again, it may not be something that's physically evident in your life at the moment, but that's what we have promised. If you're in Christ Jesus, you have the victory over every work of the enemy, all the works of darkness. Why? All because of the resurrection. Because Jesus came out of the tomb. He came out of the grave. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. So I'm going to keep it brief this morning. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. I like this scripture. Actually, I love. I was asked once to read my favorite scripture, and it gave me a dilemma. We were in the service. It was I think we were just going around and just read your favorite. What my favorite one went of all time, or my favorite one for this last minute or so. Yeah, I like Romans 8. It's a great chapter to read. But here in verse 11, look at this, these words. It says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Have you got the same spirit in you that raised Jesus from the dead?
Yes?
Yes? You sure?
Yes.
Okay, good. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus, if he dwells in you, then the same spirit will give life to your mortal bodies. He will give life to your bodies. To the situation you're in, where you are, Jesus will bring life. Why? Because it's the resurrection power of God that's at work. I'm going to finish this morning with a scripture from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now listen to Paul. Now, you know what happened in Corinth. Corinth was, I think Pastor said this the other day, they were a church that were actually a little bit naughty. They allowed anything to happen, anything went in this church. Paul had to deal with a lot of teaching here, some rebuke, putting things straight. And in verse 4, he says this. He says, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Now, Paul was well qualified as an orator. He was a great speaker. We know that through the scriptures and through what tradition tells us as well. He was a man who, if he wanted to, he could tie you up in seconds and get you to be a very persuasive man. But he said, when I came to you, he said, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. He says, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Now, Paul could deal with people at every level of their life. whether they were intellectual or whether they were not so intellectual. He knew how to speak to them. He knew how to talk with them. He said, when we can speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are come into nothing. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. Then he makes a comment, he says, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Just imagine that. Had the rulers, and we can put the devil in there as well, had these people really known what the resurrection would accomplish, the devil would have done everything to stop him from being crucified. But he thought he was putting an end to Jesus. He thought he was going to finish it and get it out and dead and buried and gone. But what he actually did in crucifying the Lord Jesus was the only thing he did was put to death himself. Because having crucified Jesus, having put him on the cross, what we read earlier on, how Jesus made a public spectacle of him, triumph over him, and every ruler, rather than being stirred up with jealousy, they would have made sure that he didn't go to the cross. They would have kept him. Had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Why? Because the power of the resurrection gives hope to all. The resurrection defeated death. It defeated the grave. It defeated the curse of sin. And the resurrection, as we've read, gives us the power to live an overcoming life. You know, we've been singing it. You know, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because Jesus lives, there's hope for our future. So let me encourage you this morning to take off the grave clothes. You remember Lazarus, when he came out of the tomb, he was bound head to toe in the grave clothes. And Jesus gave the instructions to his disciples. He says, get those grave clothes off him. You know, unwrap him. Let him go. You know, take off the grave clothes of sin this morning. Take off the grave clothes of defeat. And start living in the power of the resurrection. Because it's your guarantee, the guarantee of your hope today. That whatever you're trusting God. You know, we've been praying for God, for various things in the prayer meetings. You know, our sister just shared, Sister Sandra just shared with us how, you know, God answered their prayer. You know, sometimes years of prayer just come to fruition. Well, that's our hope, that God will hear and answer our prayer. That God will forgive us our sin. He will take us to be with himself. And wherever there's a promise, there's hope.
Amen.
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 Amen.